and kind of put us on, and it is the adventure of 1,000 asks. We came together last week and we studied a passage where Jesus said that the fields are ready, but the workers were few. And we were challenged by that. And we said, Lord, if the fields are ready, as you say, and we believe you, then we will be your workers. So what we did is we set out 100 packets of these. These are 10 refrigerator magnets with our information on it. And what we did was we took this information. We said, you know what? Let's use these as invitations. We'll go to people and we'll say, hey, what God do you want me to say to this person? And we said, Lord, lead us to them. We put these in our wallets. We put them in our purses. We put them anywhere God would have us put these. And we said, Lord, take us out into the community. What do you want us to do? And you guys have been very good at doing this. We said, Lord, we're going to try to do this over the next 10 weeks. We're going to kind of not talk about it after 10 weeks, but we are done with week one. We are taking these magnets and we are going to people, and I've asked you to send me your emails. Send me emails when you are able to do one of these asks that God has led you to. And I am amazed at how ingenious our people are, how creative God has made you. And I said I would give you updates, just like I'm getting updates, just to keep the fuel burning under there and saying, okay, I didn't get anybody the first week, Lord. You didn't leave me to anybody. Well, there's always week two. Maybe there'll be two people this week, three people, four people. Let me tell you one of our stories. Here's a message I received. We'll just hold on the picture there, Mr. Eric. It says, hello, Pastor Drew. The Lord has placed an idea on my heart concerning the 1,000 Asks Challenge. I am going to Michael's Craft Store to purchase a large craft button. I will put the magnet inside, and with the space around it, I'm going to write, ask me about Westbridge Community Church, and I will wear it everywhere I go. Hey, you never know. Pretty good idea, huh? Amen. I like that idea. You think they came through? You think this West Virginian went for it?
Oh, yeah.
Eric, show them. There it is. There's the button. I received that story. I received that picture, and it says this. A great story goes with this. When I went to the counter at Michael's to purchase the buttons, I interrupted a morning meeting. Good. There was approximately 7 or 8 employees. I apologized for doing so, and the manager asked if I had anything I wanted to add to the meeting. Well, I mentioned how helpful her associate was in finding the buttons for me, and she proceeded to ask if I was doing a project for my kids at school. Door open, here we go. Guess what? I got to tell her it was a project for church and was able to tell all of those people about Westbridge. And yes, I mentioned the time and place. It was awesome. What do you think? Good job? All right, we're going to leave our West Virginian anonymous because we're all out there as soldiers on the front lines, right? We're all doing these cool things that God has called us to. So, what are we going to keep doing? Number one, what's the first thing we're doing?
Praying.
We are praying. Lord, show me who you want me to go to. And as you can see, this is how God works. You go there to buy a button, and you run into 7 or 8 people who you get to tell about Westbridge. And we know our job is simply to ask. It's God's job to save people. It's our job to ask and invite them, okay? So, that's the first thing we're going to do is pray. What's the second thing we said we were going to do?
Show them the website.
Yeah, we say, let's go to the website. It's on the magnet, so you can offer them the magnet. It's kind of an easy way. And tell them to go to the website and say, hey, if you want to check out our church, because I know it's scary. Here's the first time to Westbridge is the scary one, breaking the ice. And then once you've broken the ice, everybody says the same thing. Wow, that place is awesome. It was very friendly, very kind, very nice. I wasn't the least bit intimidated, and I didn't feel uncomfortable. And then the third thing you do after you do your ask is what? Send me an email. I need to know, and I've got more. I tell you, you guys have been very busy, and I've been busy too. We're all doing it. We feel that after 10 weeks, we would love for God to have shown us 1,000 asks. And that is the mission we're on. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, keep the flame hot under there, gang. We're going to keep moving forward on this. If you did not get a packet, if you were not here last week, if you cut church last week, if you were delinquent, if you didn't get one, I have some more. We handed out, of the 1,000 that I put together, last week, guess how many we handed out to our West Virginians? Turned out to be 970 went out. Which to me was a huge confirmation that it wasn't crazy. It wasn't just an idea I came up with. It was from the Lord. And the Lord wants us to hand out 1,000 asks. So I have 3 more packets to break the 1,000. But I got some extra just in case God wants us to go past 1,000. Sound good? All right. Well, we are going to do a little Bible study tonight because, as you can see, we are going to celebrate communion. So I wanted to get you in, kind of in the groove of what we're going to be studying tonight, because we're going to be talking about going through the motions. When we go through the motions, are we supposed to go through the motions? How do we go through the motions? What are they supposed to mean? What is the whole purpose behind going through the motions? So the best way I could come up with to start a study like that is, of course, the going through the motions game. Oh, yeah. All right. So... All right, now, as always, I have to have my person standing next to me. And by the way, my prizes tonight include, they have peanuts in them. So I need someone who's allergic to peanuts so that they won't feel left out. Who wants to come and work up here with me? Who wants to come up here who's allergic to peanuts? All right, now that you're all going to eat the... Oh, Mr. Dave, come on down, Mr. Dave. All right. Good. Now, Mr. Dave Blaine has been with me a long time. You know the drill, right? And they are tough. They want their prize. If they know the answer, they want it. So you got to remember, the first person answers, second person, all the way up to probably 4.
The last one for me.
Well, I'm hoping that someone wins who doesn't eat peanuts, and I mean, you can get it. Because if you can't eat peanuts, just looking at Mr. Dave, then we would get. But you're allergic to peanuts.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're just being kind. All right. Good. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're talking about things we go through the motions, and that's kind of the theme if you were on Jeopardy. And Mr. Dave will recognize the first person. He will then know how many, you know, milliseconds it is for the second person to raise their hand. And he'll go through that whole thing. So hopefully you'll get these right. And these could be tough. These can be tough. So let me put my glasses on. And are you ready for the first question? You're going to need them, buddy. If you need, okay, here we go. If Westbridge has done approximately 48 Saturday services a year for 9 years, how many times does that mean we have done setup?
Caleb.
Oh, he's going for it. What do you think, Mr. Caleb?
432.
Answer? 432. Mr. Dave, I'm going to put you in charge of these. You can hand these out. Giant Snickers bars. Oh, nothing but good in there. Giant Snickers bars. Yeah. You ever seen them 10-pound Hershey bars? Oh, man, they're unbelievable. I know, like a doormat. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, you know, it's easy to go through the motions of setting up and tearing down every week, isn't it? We kind of got the groove on this thing. We're able to pull off church. At 5 o'clock, those trailers get here. By 7 o'clock, we not only have set up the entire church, we have done a full rehearsal. It's easy to go through the motions. We're getting good at that. But why do we do it? Why do we go through the motions? Yeah, for God. Well, give me another reason. What's another reason we could do all that work, go through the motions of that? Because we love it. Absolutely. Serving God. You will find yourself serving God. Another reason we do that?
Fellowship of the saints.
We're all here together. We enjoy being together. We like these people. It's crazy, but we like each other. Right. Mr. Greg, why are we doing this?
It's a good witness.
It's a good witness. Absolutely. We go through these motions every single week because we want to get through to people that Jesus loves them. That there's a relationship waiting for. I just had someone tell me tonight that there was a young person who at 19 feels like life's over. I said, wow, 19, it ain't over. You need to find Jesus. You need to find that he's here for you, that he wants to offer you life to the full. That's why we go through the motions of setting up each week. All right, number 2. Walmart states its number 1 sales department in August is A, summer clearance, school supplies, pool accessories or fall fashion?
School supplies?
Let's find out. School supplies it is. Sarah, you're getting a Snickers bar. Oh, yes, yes. Once again, we go through the motion of getting school supplies. I really don't understand why binders have to be new every year. Someone will have to tell me why that is. We can't reuse the old binders. But we go through the motions of this, and why do we get the school supplies? Just to spend money and make Walmart rich?
No.
You got to be ready because you're going in and you're learning. You got to have everything you need to get what you need to make the learning process a little bit easier. How are we doing so far, Dave? We got two left?
Two left.
Okay, you got two more chances. Here we go. Let's change up the genre a little bit. Three reasons. Now, there are three. I messed this up last time, so I messed it up. I owe Andrew a candy bar, I think, because he was trying to give me this answer. I want the one here that doesn't fit, right? I want the one here that doesn't fit. Don't give me the good ones. Give me the one that doesn't fit. Three reasons for using hot water to wash dishes. Three reasons for using hot water to wash dishes. I don't want the three. Which one does not belong up there?
Cody had his hand up before you even asked the question. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know what, Dave? He hasn't washed a dish in his entire life. I'll tell you that right now. So he is not going on experience. That boy don't wash no dishes. You're lucky you get him to wash his socks. All right?
All right. He needs to do a sink ball.
Cody, what is your guess, the one that does not belong here? You don't think it strengthens the dish, the hot water? Let's take a look. It don't strengthen the dish. Absolutely not. All right. Now, Cody, do not eat that until you get home. Right. You wait till you get home and eat that. All right, we got one more chance, Mr. Dave.
One more chance.
Yeah, you know, we go through the motions of washing the dishes, don't we? And we don't, why do we do that with hot water? You know, it's kind of a waste. We'll use cold water, save a little bit of money, right? No. There's a lot of good reasons why we do that. It does reduce the drying time, they say, cuts grease, kills the bacteria and microorganisms, absolutely. All right, or you know what I found is I have a dog now. If he licks the dish, dogs have no germs. You can let him do that. And I tell you what, I've had West Virginians over my house. They didn't even know that the dishes were cleaned by Cooper. It worked out beautifully. They don't know the difference.
That's my secret, too.
We're two of a kind. We got to do church here. We got to get church going here. All right, here we go. Let's turn to safety. All right. When we turn our clocks back or ahead, we are to change the batteries in these as well. Let's see, Mr. Robert.
The fire detectors.
God, I will accept fire detectors. It is smoke detectors. Excellent. I will accept that, right? Excellent. Thank you, Dave. All right, that was cool. Good job. Yeah, we go through the motions of, you know, well, that battery's good. No, we want that changed every 6 months. They've saved a lot of life, smoke detectors. Now, my family's going to get on me tonight because I got a whole bunch missing in my house. But we're going to make it work. Don't you worry. You see, you can see by our game that it becomes very easy to get lost in the motions, doesn't it? It's very easy to get lost in the motions of doing something and allowing the purpose to get totally lost. We can forget. One of the things we do at the firehouse, and it's still kind of crazy to me, I've just switched over to our fall, winter, and spring uniform. That stays the same. The only one that's different is the summer. In the fall, winter, and spring, I have to wear a jacket, I have to wear a tie, and I have to wear a hat leaving the fire department building. Here's what makes it odd. Our new firehouse is I walk out the door, and I walk no further than Liana to my car. When I get to my car, I can take it all off. The hat, the coat, and the tie. You know what I mean? You know, then I'm okay. If I get caught by an officer going to the car without my tie, without my hat, and without my jacket, I'll be in big trouble. Why in the world do they have this silly rule? This has been going on since the fire department began. And we got new guys on the job. We just put on 8 new guys, and they have no idea why they have to wear this tie, this hat, and this coat. It's just going through the motions. It's silly, actually, to have to wear this to get to the car, and it's in a parking lot behind the building. Nobody can see me anyway. But these are the rules. Because years ago, years and years and years ago, way before the honeymooners, way back before Desi and Lucy, people used to walk to work. And people would walk to work, and they wanted the firemen to go to work looking professional. And that's why. Now we get in our car, and it's a waste of time. But it's easy to get caught up in the motions of things and lose the whole concept of why we do this. And that's why right now at the fire department, we merely go through the motions of putting on my clip-on tie, zipping up my coat, and then putting on my white hat. Well, God knows that that can happen to us spiritually as well. And so God has put some practices in place so that we would always return to the purpose and the motive of our life with him. As I said, we're going to celebrate communion tonight. And what Westbridge has always done is we devote the whole night to communion. We don't add it on as an extra at the end, and we don't slip it in before and kind of get past it. We say, let's make the entire night about communion. And we do that for several reasons. Number one, we really want to revive our hearts and our minds with the remembrance of what God has done for us and focus on that. We also want to give Christ's sacrifice full honor, full honor. That's what we focus on for the entire night. And third, what we're really going to focus on here is we want to engage the powerful enlightenment that this practice is designed to create. And so, this table has a profound effect and also a very applicable set of actions that it calls us to that we should engage in. I want to read 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, and you'll see this. For as I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. He gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. It's an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Here, the Apostle Paul quotes the words of Jesus from that very first night, that very first Lord's table. That first night, Jesus explained how the bread represented his body that was going to be going to the cross for them, and how the wine represents his blood that would be spilt for mankind's sins. Paul will go on to say how this moment, this remembrance, allows us, in fact, it compels us to do a sort of maintenance procedure on our lives. Verse 27, if we read on, says this, anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered him and spit on Jesus at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. End of quote. Don't just go through the motions of it. You see, Paul asks us to use this table as a time when we basically drive our lives into a garage and we check out our spiritual fluids. A time to examine the condition of our entire spiritual vehicle. And a huge part of that vehicle is the relationship or our connection upward. That is our connection up to God. So that's the first area that this table helps us focus our attention on. That's your first point tonight. Reestablishing our relationship with God. Connecting up. I use the word reestablishing because the purpose of evaluating our relationship with God is to repair the wear, to fix what has gone out of alignment, to keep our relational engine running at optimal power. You see, gang, relationships require maintenance. You are going to have to maintain a relationship to keep it moving forward. I first got my hands around this concept and how powerful it can be after I finished building my house. My house took me 15 months to build. And throughout that time, I would go to the firehouse, and for the first 6 months of it, I went to Bible college as well. Firehouse, Bible college, work site to work on the house. Let Bible college go for a year, went back a year later, but then spent each day going to the firehouse, then going straight to the job site to work on the house to build it. We had baby Cody at the time. He was only a little baby. And Kelly would take care of the home front. And I worked like crazy, tirelessly on this house. But what happened as the house was completed, we noticed that the relationship between me and Kelly had gone out of alignment. It had some wear on it. She had gotten to feel like a single mom. And I had gotten to be someone who really was more interested in thinking about the next step on the house than thinking about any kind of steps in the marriage. And so when the house was done, I was driving to work, and I heard that there was going to be a family life marriage conference in Parsippany. And I immediately called and signed me and Kelly up for it. I said, well, you know, we weren't going to be ending our marriage or anything, but it wasn't special. It was just no pizzazz. It wasn't running straight. It wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. And so we went to that family life marriage conference. And I have told many, many, many people since then, we fixed in one weekend what we had torn down over 15 months. You don't need 15 months to fix it. I thought you would. We fixed it in one weekend. Refocused on each other, re-cared about one another, put each other first, celebrated each other, and before you know it, we were on the road to being fully aligned, fully connected with one another. Well, gang, Paul in this passage that we just read helps us. He's helping us to repair the wear and realign what has gotten out of alignment when he asks the people to examine their motives, to test their hearts, it says in other translations. You see, that same evaluation should be practiced by us as well if we are to reconnect up to God. Each of us, before coming to this table, by taking this time, before we come to this table, we take the time to take an inventory of our actions. That's A on your outline. Take an inventory of our actions. I told you last week that I used to work at a department store called Bradley's. Some people remember that. And Bradley's was a cool department store, and I enjoyed working there. But there was one thing I couldn't stand. One thing I couldn't stand that I dreaded at Bradley's, and that was when we did our yearly inventory. Ugh. Counting everything made no sense to me because I don't think I ever counted anything right. But 12. But you got to do inventory. Every toy had to be counted. Every sweater, every shoe, every piece of candy, you name it, had to be done. And I didn't want to do it. But according to the manager, it had to be done to keep the store focused, aligned, and going straight. And so we did that. We took the inventory. Well, when it comes to our relationship with God, this inventory has to be done as well. Not to condemn us, though. God doesn't want to condemn us with this inventory. He wants to restore us, get us going straight, get us on track again. What happened with me and Kelly at the marriage conference? He wants us to do an inventory where we look at ourselves and say, what have I been getting right? What have I been getting right, Lord? Let me look at the inventory of my life. What have I been getting right? Because we want to keep moving into that strength. Keep using God's Spirit to keep doing what he's called us to do. And say, that's going good. Need to count that? That's good. Keep going in a good direction. But on the other hand, we also wants to ask us, what have I gotten wrong that I've been ignoring? What is the attitude that I have been displaying that isn't one that God would be looking to put a crown on my head for? What are some of the things, the practices that I've been slipping into that I really don't want to be slipping into? We need to do an inventory of that. Tonight's the night where he allows you to do that. Stop and take that spiritual inventory. God wants us to, in this inventory, say, have I engaged with God regularly? Have I engaged God regularly? Have I spoken to him? And have I heard from him? Have I been investing in God? Have I been reading any books on him? Have I been listening to the Christian radio stations and listening to pastors? Have I been doing any of this so that I can connect with God? I need to take an inventory on that because this relationship up has to be one that I want to keep strong. So we do an inventory on it. And have I been spoken to by God and listened to him in this. Gang, God doesn't do this because he wants to demoralize us. Instead, he is doing it. He's not looking to send us out to the junkyard to say you made too many mistakes. Instead, he's into fixing the dents, fixing what's wrong, polishing us up, tuning us up, and getting us running well again as we all want to. And so we need to individually, in our hearts, come to God and confess the mistakes. Lord, I blew it here. Here's a place, Lord, I have not been shining for you. You need to come to him and say, Lord, this is one of my shortcomings, one of my sins. And then you move to step B. Ask for God's forgiveness. Go to God. This isn't something you just take for granted. And say, well, I was saved at the cross. I know all my sins in the future are forgiven. There's truth in that. But also he wants to say, hey, he wants to hear us say, Lord, I haven't been getting this right. Forgive me. I want to move into a better place than I have been. The Bible tells us in First John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. We can trust God, it tells us. He does what is right. He will make us clean from all the wrongs that we have done. And so, with this, we reestablish our relationship with God. We reestablish the connection up and make it strong and start moving in the right direction with God, all because of this table. But there's a second connection that Paul talks about here, a second connection at this table. And it is our second focusing point tonight. It's establishing a bond between each other. And this is powerful. Paul wrote in verse 33, he said this, "So, dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other." Now, Paul, as well as Jesus, makes this event a community event. He even instructs us to wait until everybody's there. You see, there's something unifying, something very congealing when people share a similar event in their lives. I saw this so plainly when we first visited the Phillipsburg High School football field and did our first Relay for Life. I didn't know how they were going to run this event, but there was a cool thing they did at the beginning and they continue to do. They ask for everyone who has been a cancer survivor, suffering from cancer, all the people who've been touched by cancer personally. They ask them to put on purple t-shirts. And they all have the same t-shirt on. And you can spot them very, very easily. And then they have them come down and they do the first lap around that track together. And it is powerful when you sit and watch that and realize that each one of them has a connection because each one of them has dealt with cancer. And they walk together and only they are allowed. You don't go just because you like them. They're there because that's what they have been a part of, and they are one through that unifying experience. Well, we're very much the same, gang. You see, each person who comes to this table and eats this bread and drinks this cup, well, basically we wear a survivor's t-shirt too. Because each one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ has our own story. A story to share about the sickness that we had of sin. And each one has a common point of interest to share. You see, each one who eats this bread and drinks this cup, each one of us stood at the cross of Jesus and we bowed before it and asked him to change our lives and to save us. It was a personal event for each and every one of us. No one saw each other's event, but each one of us did it. And that's when we slipped on a survivor from death t-shirt. God asks us to remember and proclaim those moments at this table. He wants us, as we come down front, like all those people wearing the purple t-shirts, high-five each other and proclaim our individual triumph over sin's sting. And he wants us to bond together through this event to say, we are in this together. We are on the same team. You bowed in front of the same cross I bowed. I didn't see you. You must have been behind me or in front of me. But I put my knees in the same spot that you put your knees and asked God to forgive me. And he did. And we remember that when we step forward tonight in lines. Saying, wow, I thought I was alone. You weren't alone. You're on a journey with each other. You see, because only those purple-shirted cancer survivors really understood the other survivors. Only they could really understand it. Only someone who felt the same fear and the same uncertainty of the future can relate to what they did. And only a pilgrim traveling on the road to the celestial city can effectively come alongside another pilgrim and understand them. Only a person trying to live a life that honors and obeys God can understand how difficult it is for another believer who's trying to live a life that honors God and to be wholesome. And this table puts us all on the same ground. This table is what stands for and provides a unity that connects us with one another through the good and through the bad. And that connection to one another is priceless. The communion table, gang, is not about going through the motions. It is not. It's not up communion, I'll step forward. It's about a self-examination. It's about a reconnection. It's about a remembrance to God. I'm going to ask our worship leaders to come back. I'm going to ask Mr. Robert, Mr. Darrell to come. Prepare the communion tables for us. And as Kelly starts to play, take time to do that spiritual inventory. Take time to reconnect with God. Ask for forgiveness. Ask him to make you strong as you move forward. And as you come forward, look around. Because you're not in this alone. This is a meal we are to partake of together.